So a good shepherd will come along and shear his sheep. And our good shepherd does the same thing with you and me. In the same way, he applies the keen cutting edge of his word to shear off the fleshly ideas, fleshly habits. He shears them off through the word of God.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to another edition of Life Talk. Today we are starting a brand new message titled, He Restores Me. This is part three on the series called, The Shepherd, a Study of the 23rd Psalm. To introduce the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
This time in our study in the 23rd Psalm, we're looking at verse 3, which begins with the encouraging words, He restores my soul. Again, it's helpful to remember that Psalms 23 is written from the sheep's perspective, and David considered himself a sheep in God's pasture. He might have been a king, but he saw himself as one of God's sheep. We might ask, well, why would David need his soul restored? I mean, he's King David, the great psalm writer and man of God. Why would he write that God is restoring his soul? Well, that's because David was so well acquainted with being cast down in his own soul. It was David who wrote the words, Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? David knew what it was to fail God and to be cast down by his own weaknesses. So let's get started as I share the message, He restores my soul. Now, why is David talking about He restores my soul? Why would David need his soul restored? Why would he write that God is restoring his soul? Now, can I tell you that the minute that you and I are saved, this is really important to remember. On the inside of you, you are instantly reborn. You are fully made alive. Ephesians 2:1 says, you he made alive. So we have been made alive. Our spirit has been reborn, and it's not going to get more reborn. It's as born as it's going to get. Amen? Because what did he do? He made us alive. He has made us alive. So we went from death to life, from blind to sight, from lost to found, from hell bound to heaven bound, from one kingdom to another, from one king to another. So it's important for us to understand the way that we are put together, body, soul, and spirit. So our spirit is immediately reborn the moment we're saved, but our soul is not. Our soul, the Greek word is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche, and that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, all right? Your soul. So you've got a spirit that is immediately reborn, fully made alive, but your soul, it'll take the rest of your life to fully restore your soul, and even then it won't be fully restored because it happens by the renewing of our mind, and it's a lifelong process. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world. Don't act like it. Don't think like it. Don't talk like it. Don't walk like it. Don't adapt their worldview. No, because this world is not our home. Be not conformed, put into the shape or the mold of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. How? How does transformation happen for the believer? By the renewing of your mind. Well, what renews your mind? I was talking to somebody this week, witnessing to them about the Lord, and they were asking me just some real basic questions, but, you know, I've learned that our society, you can't assume that people know what they used to know. So I'm all the time having to go to the basics to talk to people, and I'm fine with that. That's good. But this person was asking me, how can I discover God's will for my life? And I said, well, part of it is you've got to renew your mind. Well, how do I get my mind renewed? You know, there's only one way, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God erases old ways of thinking and replaces with new ways of thinking. The Word of God erases and the Word of God replaces. So when I get up in the morning and I open up that Bible, it's not like any other book. It is a totally supernatural book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it's breathed out of God. It's the only book in the world that's not from the world. Okay? The Bible's like no other book. If you got your Bible, hold it up. Hold it up. All right? You're holding in your hand right there an incredible blessing. And you're holding in your hand the very supernatural Word of God. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are life. Amen. Okay, so the way we renew our mind, and this is the way our soul is restored, is by letting the Word of God erase and replace the way we think. The way you think about morals, the way you think about ethics, the way you think about marriage, the way you think about people, the way you think about God, what you think about Jesus, what you think about you. Because I guarantee you, when you came to the Lord, you didn't see you the way God sees you. Because God sees you as an incredible, as the old children's song said, great big bundle of potentiality. Remember that song? So David needed his soul restored as much as we do. Now, how many of you want your soul restored? All right, you know how we'll know how bad you really want it? How much you're in the Word. If you stay with that Word. I've gotten to the place, I didn't used to say this pastoring, I didn't used to be this strong about it, but I'm going to tell you, these days with the depravity and the wickedness and the evil and the total backsliddenness of our culture, I don't know how anybody walks with God that doesn't get in the Word every day. You can't afford not to be in the Word every day. Now, this person said to me, well, sometimes I just don't get what it's saying. That's okay, because if you're truly born again, let me quote John, you have no need that any man teach you. But the same anointing that you have received teaches you, that abides in you, teaches you all things. Now, he's not doing away there with the ministry of the teacher, because I'm called to teach and to preach and to reach. That's my calling. It's not doing away with the ministry of the teacher in the church. What it's saying is when you open up that Bible, you have no need that a man must teach you, because the same anointing you've received, the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, will open it up to you and teach you all things. Say with me, I've got a teacher on the inside. Now, he happens to be the greatest teacher that ever lived. Amen. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. Come on. See, I'm going off on my own here. I could almost preach my own message and totally ignore my note. I got to get back to what I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, but I'm going somewhere with this. If we want our souls restored, our minds renewed, and with a renewed mind comes peace, love, joy, not worrying about everything, trusting God, maturity, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. With a renewed mind, it means you're thinking like Jesus, looking at the world like Jesus. And it's the way to a peaceful mind. I don't know about you, but I want a peaceful mind, right? So you got to renew it. You've got to renew it. You've got to renew your mind. So he restores my soul. Now, this is because David was well acquainted with being cast down in his soul. Why did David need it? David knew what it was to be cast down in his soul. David wrote, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" David knew what it was to fail God, to be cast down by his own weaknesses. He knew what it was. He knew what it was to think he had it all together and then make such terrible mistakes that he said, what in the world is wrong with me? I need my soul restored. So you know who's going to do it? He restores my soul. After a fall, he restores my soul. After a failure, he restores my soul. When I'm cast down on the inside, he restores my soul. If I'm struggling with depression, he restores my soul. If I'm filled with worry and I've got an inclination to being afraid of everything, he restores my soul. He's the restorer. The word of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. David said in another psalm, Now, a cast down soul is an exact parallel to the reality of caring for sheep. Exact parallel. Only those intimately acquainted with sheep and their habits understand the significance of a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. It's an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and can't get up again by itself. That's what cast means. Everybody say cast. So when he says, my soul is cast down within me, when a shepherd says that, a shepherd has something else in mind. Not just being down, but he had this whole concept of being cast, of being a cast sheep. Now, this is straight from the explanation of a genuine shepherd, Philip Keller. And he says, a cast sheep is a very sad and pathetic sight. It's a sheep that has wandered from the flock and has laid down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. And in the process, the sheep rolls on its side to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. Panic sets in and he starts flaying like this. But now he's on his back and he can't get back up. He begins to paw frantically, unable to right himself. So there he is. He's on his back. He can't roll back over. He's flaying his little legs like this. He is totally at the mercy of now his cast condition. And a predator could come along and finish him off. Or as he lies there struggling, it gets really bad. If a predator doesn't take him, gases begin to build up in his stomach. Soon the blood circulation is cut off from the extremities of the body, especially his little legs. And if the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in just a few hours. Have you ever felt like you were like this spiritually? Help me, Lord. That's the picture. Everybody do this. Have you ever been there? I can't get up. I can't get up. I've fallen spiritually and I can't get up. If it's cool outside, he may survive for a few days. But either way, a cast sheep is doomed. He's doomed if he's not rescued. This is why Jesus talked about the shepherd with 100 sheep and one of them goes astray. And he leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one with a sense of urgency. Why? Because Jesus fully understood the concept of a cast sheep. I got to find that one before he dies in his cast condition. Once the shepherd finds the sheep, he immediately rolls the sheep over onto its side. This relieves the pressure of the gases on the stomach. And if she's been there a long time, he'll lift her onto her feet and start rubbing the limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. Eventually, the shepherd would let the sheep start walking on its own, where it would often stumble and collapse in a heap, unable yet to go it on its own. But finally, she'd regain her equilibrium and dash off to join the flock, set free from fears and frustrations, given another chance to live a little bit longer. Now, in light of this, the words, he restores my soul, becomes much more meaningful because, folks, as sheep get cast, so do people. So do believers. Remember, a sheep is us. A sheep is us. All we, like sheep, have done what? Gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and that's when you end up getting cast. Listen, as a pastor, I've watched it happen 100 times over the years. One of God's sheep wanders away from the church. They get out of fellowship. They get out of prayer. They get out there in the world. They don't necessarily intend to, but in wandering, which we are wont to do, we get out there in the world and we think we're okay. We think we're tough enough and strong enough. And I've had believers look right at me and say, I don't need church. I've got my own walk with God. And I watch Christian TV on Sunday morning. Well, that's okay. But if you can get to a church where there's real human beings there you can touch and talk to, that's better. But I've had them say, I don't need church. I'm mature now. I know the Bible. I know the Lord. And they get out there. And I always say to myself, the day will come when I hear that something has gone down in their life and they are in a cast condition. I can almost picture them out there. Help me, help me, help me. Right? They're cast. They're cast. And the cast condition for a Christian is so similar to a sheep. And they lie down in some kind of compromising lifestyle where they eventually discover they can't deliver themselves. What was first a choice now has become a necessity. and you're cast. You're upside down in your life and you can't get yourself back up. You need somebody stronger than you. You need the Holy Ghost of God. You need Jesus. You need the Master. You need the Good Shepherd. You need somebody stronger than you to get you back on your feet, because unless you are found, you are cast, and you leave somebody there long enough and a predator is going to get them. That's why Peter said, watch out, because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may eat alive. And who does he look for? He looks for the cast sheep. Most of us, though we belong to Christ and desire to be under his control and be led by him, do on occasion find ourselves cast down. Let me ask a question. Tell the truth. We're in church, so you can tell the truth. We're in church, you better tell the truth. No. How many of you can say there's been a time in my life where I was cast? Come on. I was cast. Amen. We've all been there, right? And we discover that often, when we're most sure of ourselves, that's when we fall into a cast position, into frustration and futility. This is why Paul said, listen, let him that thinks he stands be careful lest he fall. Because at any given time, that's why I say, stay close to Jesus. Walk tight with Jesus. I mean, get tight with Jesus. Every morning, say, good morning, Jesus. Every night, say, good night, Jesus. Thank you for being my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd. Help me to never get away from you, never wander away. Because in this culture we're in, it doesn't take long at all for the predators to find you. If you leave the flock and you get out there and you lay down in a compromising lifestyle, it doesn't take long before you're cast. And unless somebody finds you, you're in real trouble. Unless the shepherd gets you out of that position, you're in real trouble. So let's learn some things from the lesson of the cast sheep. First, like the sheep, we must be careful about looking for a soft spot, a place of ease in which to lie down. See, there's a danger, folks, in always looking for the easy place. I love my recliner. That's the easy place for me. That recliner talks to me. It calls me. It calls me sometimes in the middle of the night. It says, come in here and sit in me. And once I'm in that recliner, it says, stay here. Our nature is to look for the place of least resistance. It is to look for the easiest spot. And that's what gets that sheep in trouble. He wanders and he looks for a soft spot in that grass to lay down. And he lays down in a little hollow place, and that's how he ends up cast, because he's looking for the comfort zone, the place of least hardship. But you know what, folks? The Christian life is one where discipline and hardship are required. Amen? I'm not going to tell you the Christian life is easy. It is not easy. How many of you have realized if you're a believer more than a week, this is not easy? Amen? It's not easy because we're swimming upstream for the rest of our lives. The world's going this way, and we're going this way. And we've got to be so very careful that we don't flow with that world. Don't be conformed with this world. Don't flow with this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going upstream while they're going downstream. But it's so easy for us to look for the place of least resistance, like the sheep, to always look for the soft spot to lie down. And it can detour us away from God's plan. Because sometimes we equate ease with the blessing of God. But can I tell you sometimes, church, God's blessings don't always bring ease. Let me go further. Here's some meat. Here's some T-bone for you. Sometimes the blessing of God brings pain. Sometimes the best God has brings pain. As a matter of fact, let me take it a little bit further. You and I will never become like Jesus without some pain. Don't shout me down. Don't amen me. We have to edit out all that screaming and shouting there, guys. See, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've been afflicted, I keep your word. See, pain has a way of getting us tight in there with Jesus, because you know what we tend to do? We tend to look for the soft spot and gravitate to the easiest place. And there is where we want to stay until Jesus comes again. But if you notice, God will not let you do that. Christianity is not the easy way out. It's the right way in to God's acceptance. So we got to be careful. We don't always look for that soft spot. Let me tell you a quick story. The first people that I ever taught, I'm going to affectionately say it was a living room full of she-devils. These were a little handful of girls who were in a place where it was sort of the last stop before prison. And I was asked to teach them in a little Bible study. This is when I was first all on fire for God. I mean, I was ready to tear up the world. I was burning to preach the word of God. And it was like God said, really, Jeff? Well, let me show you what it's like to teach my word in an atmosphere where it's not really appreciated. Because I'm going to show you what it is to serve me and not results. So I would walk into this living room. It was called the House of Faith. And here were these girls. And I would walk in. It was like 7, 8 of them, sometimes maybe 9, 10. And the first thing I would be told is, or asked, how long is this going to take? Now, I'm in there with my little guitar. I've learned C, G. I've learned enough to sing, God is so good, He is Lord, and Kumbaya. Okay? And I'm a newbie. I am totally green. I have never actually taught a group like this. You know, hair down to here and bell-bottom blue jean. I'd never done this. And so I walked in, how long is this going to take? And I said, well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Imagine me singing God is so good with no backup. God is, I think, good. This is where He's put me. I'm kind of wondering how good He is. And I'd get to the word, and they would look at me, and they would say, hurry up, there's a show on TV we want to watch. Now, here I am, and I'm learning how to minister the word of God. I've been doing this my whole life, folks. I've been doing this since I was a teenager. I was about 19 at this point. And so I'm trying to share with these girls, thinking, Jesus, help me, please. And they would mock me. They would ridicule me. They'd make fun. I mean, I went through a fiery initiation into the ministry. One night, I walked out to my car and opened up the door, and water flooded out. Come on, everybody. Oh. Because they had put a hose in my window and turned it on. Yeah. And I drove away. And look, if anybody was ever going to quit, it was me at this time. But it was like the Lord was saying, hey, Jeff, sometimes my will also brings some pain. Because here's what it's going to do. It's going to put grit in you and steel in you and some maturity in you. Because I don't do this for results. I do this in obedience to Him. I want His smile. And if I've got His smile, then this way, whatever it does is fine with me. As long as I've got His smile. All right? So if you're looking for the soft spot to lie down, discipleship with Jesus is not the place to find it. Now, He'll give you peace, but He's going to grow you and me up. He's going to get us into maturity, whatever it takes. Amen? Come on, give Him a hand of praise. So say with me, don't look for the soft spot. Look for the obedient spot. Now, also, there's the fact of the sheep sometimes having too much wool. Mud, burrs, and other debris can cause the sheep's wool to become matted, weighing him down and making it that much harder to extract himself from a cast condition. Now, did you know that wool in Scripture depicts the old self-life in the Christian? It is significant to me that no high priest in the Old Testament was ever allowed to wear wool when he entered the Holy of Holies. Wool represents the clinging accumulation of things, of possessions, of worldly ideas and attachments that begin to weigh us down, making it harder to follow Jesus. So a good shepherd will come along and shear his sheep once their wool has become too long and thick. And our good shepherd does the same thing with you and me. In the same way, he applies the keen cutting edge of his word to shear off the unnecessary wool, the flesh, the fleshly thinking, fleshly ideas, fleshly habits. He shears them off through the word of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue the message, He Restores Me, in this series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk broadcast. Until next time, may God richly bless you.